Good morning.
Good morning.
Several scripture lessons this morning. Opportunity of a lifetime to listen for a long period of time to me.
One that we will treasure, I'm sure.
I'm sure, yes. First one is from Psalms chapter 81, verse 1. To the choir master, according to the Giddith, a psalm of Asaph, sing aloud to God our strength, shout for joy to the God of Jacob. The next reading is from also Psalm chapter 81, verses 10 through 16. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe towards him, and their fate would last forever. I would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. The next reading is from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The last reading is from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 through 16. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God.
Thank you very much. The words of the Lord for us today. Let's pray. Holy and wonderful God, we have opened your scriptures and heard your word. Now, Lord, open our hearts and our ears so that we can not only hear, but also respond to what you have to say today to us. Thanks be to Jesus Christ, the Word, who is our rock and our Redeemer. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Well, greetings to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus on behalf of the Crestfield Ministry Team and the staff and Pittsburgh Presbytery. It seems like you've been hearing those greetings from Pittsburgh Presbytery now for the second week in a row, as my boss came last week. And I think he sat right over there, you know, the big tall guy, Sheldon. Yes, yes, yes. I am glad that I now can bring them to you. And phew, now I know it's August. Good thing, because August is almost over. I know it's August because I'm preaching at Glenshaw Valley. Yes! You know, I sort of knew it was August when summer camp ended up at Crestfield and the summer staff left and then they didn't come back. I really do hate when they go. One of them was Stephanie, Heather Perman's daughter. She spent the summer with us, and she did great work for Crestfield and Jesus this summer. She excelled at day camp and at resident camp. She became known as the Pottery Queen and did a lovely job at painting the outside of the new pottery studio, in addition to helping the kids do their pinch pots and crosses and dragons and sunflowers and all kind of stuff. I love the energy that all the staff bring, and the excitement and the conversations and the activity and the hubbub. It's just wonderful up there. But then when they leave, there's a void. There's an emptiness, a quietness. Something is missing. But life at Crestfield continues, not in the same way, but in a new and different way that is just as lovely, just different. So anyway, I'm glad I'm here at Glenshaw Valley, and I'm glad that I know for sure that it's August, because I've been coming here in August. Well, every time Leonard goes on vacation in August, I come for the past 4 or 5 years, and it's truly not August until I get here to Glenshaw Valley. But wait, Leonard is not on vacation. Leonard is retired. After 26 years, I think it's 26 years, after 26 years of faithful service to the Triune God and this congregation and this community, Leonard is now retired. We rejoice for that retirement. Leonard served you well for 26 years, preaching wonderful sermons that meant something to you. My friend, and of course June's son, the same person, Reverend Dr. John White, tells me that Leonard could really preach it. He could really bring it. He could deliver a message that was meaningful and real and touched the soul. Leonard was great at pastoral visitation, too. He would typically come and visit in the hospital, and if he couldn't come, he would call and tell you that he was thinking about you, that he cared for you, that the church cared for you, that God cared for you. Leonard moderated this session for 26 years. 26 years, Glenshaw Valley had Leonard at the table moderating all of the discussions about finances and programs and needs and facilities. Leonard even advocated for this congregation with the presbytery when the flooding happened and you all needed assistance with your facility. Leonard loved you. Leonard loved you. And I believe you love Leonard. And it's August, and here I am, and so I know it's August, but Leonard is not on vacation. Leonard is retired. Oh my, how shall we continue? What shall we do? How will you be as Glenshaw Valley since Reverend Leonard Pate won't be returning from vacation in a few weeks? How shall we continue? Sure, we all know that God will provide the answer, but what is the answer to give today to that question? As I pondered what I would say, what text I would use, what words God would have me say, I looked at the lectionary readings for the day, and again, God does not disappoint. God provides. Certainly, the hymns today that we sang and sing will give us some clues on how we are to continue. But Psalm 81, and especially the verses from Hebrews, the passage from Hebrews gives us just the word we need for today. Hebrews is a book for a transitional time. This is a transitional time. Hebrews was written during a time of transition. It was a book to the Jewish people who were in the midst of becoming Christians, probably second generation Christians, who were experiencing persecution from other Jews and from the Romans, and were sure, they weren't exactly sure that following this guy Jesus was really what it was all about. Hebrews is a book that affirms Jesus is the way. Hebrews says, Abraham is to be respected. Moses did great things with God's help by leading the Israelites out of Egypt. But Christ is the best. In chapter 3, verses 3, the author, whoever they are, maybe it's Paul, maybe it's Luke, maybe it's someone else, whomever the authors are, wrote that Jesus deserves far more glory than Moses. And then continuing in that same chapter in verse 6, the authors write, Christ, the faithful Son, was in charge of the whole household, not Moses, who was the servant. And going on, we are God's household if we keep up our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. And there it is. How shall we continue? How will it be different, but how will it still be sweet? Keep up our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. Keep up our courage. As we sang earlier, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. It all sounds so easy, doesn't it? Easy peasy is a phrase I hear from those young adults up at Crestfield these days. Easy peasy. We said our goodbyes. There was a nice party and a luncheon, and away we go. We keep our hope in Christ. But then life starts to happen. Leonard's house doesn't get sold. And the trip for the three amigos, well, it doesn't take place. A dear church family member, Vi, passes away, and another pastor does the funeral. The new program year isn't starting, but there will be probably all kinds of different pastors coming and preaching. Worship could be different each week, and that comfortable, predictable way with Leonard won't be here anymore. The elders and the deacons will have to be making the pastoral visits. And Reverend Brian Wallace or his designee, well, they'll be sitting at that table moderating the session. Keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. Easy peasy? Maybe not as easy as we think. My friends, in the next few weeks, I encourage you to take some time to grieve the loss of your beloved pastor. Ending a pastoral relationship between a pastor and a congregation is not accomplished by announcement and a party. It's a process, an ongoing sequence of events and feelings and actions and interactions. Acknowledge what Leonard did and did so well, but also acknowledge the challenges that Leonard was not able to overcome. It is good to do both. It will help in saying goodbye and letting go, as well as preparing for what the Lord has planned for the present and the future. Take some time to grieve and to accept. To live in the tension of the unknown right now. God created us with feelings. Please take some time to experience those feelings. Perhaps to be angry or frustrated, feeling a sense of loss, and hopefully feelings of acceptance, and then even rejoicing in what new thing God will do for Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. As Psalm 81 declares, to sing with joy to God our strength, to listen to God and walk in God's ways. Primarily, to trust in the Lord. Keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. Our words that we read today, that our friend so eloquently read for us today, also give us assurance and more specific ways to maintain our confidence as we wait, as we listen, as we hope, and as we trust. Words on how to continue. We are given three specific actions that we can take based on today's words. And it is important that these actions are taken. Important that they are taken together as a community. You need each other right now. The first and most important comes from the last verses we read. Let me read them to you again. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. It is so important that we worship. That's what those words are telling us, that worship remains at the center of our being as individuals and as a community during this time of transition. Coming together and praising God is transformative. No matter who the preacher is, reading scripture together, praying together, offering a sacrifice of our time and our energy, praising God is necessary. Worshiping together is essential to continuing. Secondly, fellowship or koinonia is important to continuing. We are charged to do that in the very beginning of our Hebrews passage today. Let mutual love continue. Show hospitality to strangers. Friends, again I say to you, you are going to need each other during this time of transition. Each of you has been given special gifts. Now will be the time to exercise those gifts. From what I know of you, each of you has practiced in the priesthood of believers. You seem to understand about each of you being ministers and working together as the body of Christ. You have to continue to do that. Through your fellowship, you will need to heighten your awareness of each other's needs, each other's joys, each other's concerns. And then once recognizing them, you will have to employ the gift that God gave to you, that you have received, to minister to each other. The needs, the joys, and the concerns. The special gift of fellowship that the writer of Hebrews talks about, hospitality, it will be essential to your continuing. During transition, people tend to get cranky. Being hospitable to each other will allow the work to continue in a positive direction. And as a reminder, because I know you have this down pat. You have this down with me. That's why I love coming here. Remember to be welcoming to each of the different pastors that you have come until your interim is decided upon and called. Fellowship and hospitality are essential to continuing. Finally, from the worship and from the fellowship and hospitality, ministry should follow. Our text gives us lots of examples of ministry, remembering those who are in prison. And that prison may not necessarily mean jail, but maybe we're limited. Someone is in prison because they're limited because of illness, or confined because of poverty. Also, the text tells us to support the leaders, the session, the deacons, the trustees, and also to minister to couples and families of all ages. And how do we continue this ministering? By prayer. Your corporate and your individual prayer life will need to go into superdrive so that you can discern and then act on how personally you will serve the church and the community and who God is calling to serve as the interim and then in the long haul. This is not just a job for Cliff or Arlie or the music director or the session. This is a job for all of you. And let's not forget the words in the middle of the text. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Beautiful words of hope and encouragement. God will be with you during this time of transition. God is holding you individually and together as Glenshaw Valley in the palm of God's hands. God is protecting you and tenderly touching you and lifting you up and loving you so that you can worship God, so that you can be in fellowship with each other, so that you can reach out through ministry in this church and to this community. Worship, fellowship, ministry is how we shall continue, because the Lord is our helper, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. A pastor tells of a time after the transition of a church. Taking communion to a home group during Lent, he interacts with 20 or so people, gathering around the table for a meal, being in fellowship together, dwelling in the Word together, and then celebrating the Last Supper together. The group starts talking about Reverend so-and-so and how he was ill, but he's home now. And the conversation on this topic on Reverend so-and-so goes on and on and on and on and on and on. You get the message. If the minister who was leading the group that evening didn't know better, he would have thought that Reverend so-and-so was the pastor now. In actuality, Reverend so-and-so was the pastor of 20 years ago. This group of congregants, the pastor learned, actually were not active members of the church. They merely sent in their pledge and came to maybe Easter service. You see, this group was stuck. They were stuck in the past 20 years ago. They did not grieve. They did not accept why Reverend so-and-so left their church for a new call. They did not rejoice and trust the Lord would do a new thing. They did not learn from the past and move forward. They got stuck living in the past. So, what will you do? Are you open to the Holy Spirit moving in and among you? Are you open to honoring the past and your work together with Leonard? But then, are you going to move forward toward the new thing that God is going to do, hopefully together with you? How shall we continue? By the grace of God, as our Hebrew passage instructs us today, we will continue by worshiping, by fellowshipping, by ministering, and by trusting. Do not be afraid. Trust God with the past so that we can learn and then let go. Trust God with the present so we can discover how to develop and exercise everyone's gifts as leadership is shared. Trust God with the future sharing hopes and dreams and visions for ministry together. May we continue as we began, with mutual love for each other and for Jesus Christ. To God and God alone be the glory. Alleluia and amen.